Welcome to Ghostbusters, the radio show that talks about strange things in the neighborhood and weird stuff that don't look good. Talk about stuff that's messing with your head and crazy stuff that's happening in the bed. Why? Because many church folks are falling in the dark. The Bible calls us to walk as children of light. The Bible says, see then that you walk circumspectly. Not as fools, but as wise. Redeeming the time because the days.
Cause if you let it
the days are evil.
You wanna drive the
welcome, 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 ladies and gentlemen, to Ghostbusters, the radio show that talks about strange things in the neighborhood and weird stuff that don't look good. All this week, ladies and gentlemen, we've been examining things in the church and the Christian lifestyle and the Christian walk. And we've been looking at, on Monday, we saw why you should be extremely careful with secular music. And then on yesterday, we saw five signs of a religious spirit. Today, I want you to see seven signs of witchcraft in the church. Seven signs of witchcraft in the church. So get close to your radio and listen.
When most people often hear of witchcraft, the first thing that comes to their minds is a group of witches gathered together. No, not always. Witchcraft itself has one mission: to bend, manipulate, or change the original purpose of a thing. And the strength of witchcraft lies in its ability to infiltrate any area of life and go undetected. And of course, churches are also a target. In this video, I'm going to be revealing signs to know if a church is under witchcraft attack. But let me make this clear. When I speak about a church, I'm not talking about all churches as a whole. I'm only talking about a specific type of church. A true church that upholds the lordship of Jesus Christ can never fall into the manipulation of the enemy. So here are seven signs of witchcraft activity in a church. Sign number one, manipulative leadership. If the leadership of the church becomes manipulative and controlling, this is an early sign of witchcraft. For example, if you go to a church and the leader begins to threaten you, saying that if you leave or go to another church, you will be under a curse, this cannot be the Spirit of God talking, because the Church of God is not a building. The Church of God is the entirety of the body of Christ. This means in every church, it should be acceptable for you to visit another church, as long as it is a true Bible-believing church filled with the Spirit of God.
Anyone with $10,000 or more in credit card debt?
I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen, let me get this ad off.
But if the leaders place a curse on members for leaving or visiting another church, that is clear witchcraft. Because one of the clearest signs of witchcraft is control. The Bible tells us in the book of Galatians chapter 5 verse 13, "For you, brothers, were called to freedom, but not the freedom for an opportunity to the flesh. Rather, serve one another through love." This tells us that we are all born to be free, rather than to be held captive in bondage. But not only that. If the leadership wants to be treated as God, instead of teaching you how to build a relationship with God, they instead tell you that they hold your miracle and breakthrough. That's witchcraft. No one holds the power to your destiny. Only God does. Sign number two, division and gossip. One of the fastest ways of telling the true nature of a church is by looking at the way the members treat each other. If you go to a church and notice that there is a lot of gossiping, slander, or backbiting going on in that church, then there is no denying that witchcraft lives in that church. This gets even worse if the leaders themselves are actively involved. At least if the leaders lead with love and unity, we might say, well, it is the members who have a problem. But when the leaders themselves are also a part and parcel of causing division, then that church literally has a much bigger problem than it looks. This is especially true when a minister of God or a pastor begins to gossip and slander people from the pulpit. Just like the Bible tells us, like priest, like people. When the devil sees that members are fighting and backbiting each other, he doesn't need to bother himself. They laugh because you are in essence helping them carry out their job. What's interesting is the fact that after fighting and backbiting against each other, people still lift up their hands and worship God. Back in the old days, a church was a place where people could come and pour out their hearts and feel safe. But nowadays, it has become quite the opposite. How come people share their problems with you in secret? But the next day it's gone round the church? Let me tell you something. There are many people who come to church because that is the only place they can feel consoled. They don't have anyone else to talk to. They are sharing their problems with you because they trust you. They need your help and your prayers, not for you to start spreading their personal lives as a wildfire. One of the worst things you can ever do to them is to take advantage of their vulnerability. This is not what God intended. He said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. It takes God months and sometimes even years to bring someone to church. And when they manage to come into the church, imagine how God will feel if you make that person leave. There are so many people who have stopped going to church, all because of you. You betrayed their trust, spoke harshly to them, and they got wounded and left. Some of them might never ever step their foot into the house of God again, all because of you. You should never go down in history as someone who played a role in dividing a church. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 16, verse 17, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. Sign number 3, the presence of false prophets. A false prophet is anyone who tries to act or claim to speak for God when God didn't send them. They might tell you they have a word from the Lord, whereas God did not actually send them. The most difficult aspect about false prophets is the fact that they can be very convincing and difficult to detect, because they often carry a form of charisma, making you believe everything they are saying comes from God. But let me tell you something, spotting a false prophet is actually easier than you think. Jesus himself gave us one of the easiest ways to distinguish between a true and a false prophet. By their fruits you shall know them. If any man or woman tells you to bring money so that they can pray for you, pick up your bag and run as fast as you can. If any prophet tells you to come and offer sacrifices or put an item or a charm in your house for protection, please make sure you run away as fast as possible. The Bible tells us that there is no other name under heaven whereby you can be saved. Just because a person can speak accurately and it comes to pass doesn't mean they were sent by God. For example, if they know that you are going through a very difficult moment, it will be easier for them to ask you to bring money so that they can offer prayers on your behalf. They know that when you are in a desperate situation, you will be very gullible. They will start off by saying, God told me that you should give me this or that. This isn't how God works. God doesn't always need to take something from you in order to give you something in return. Now, don't get me wrong. God absolutely does speak. As a matter of fact, there are genuine prophets all over the world. The term fake can only exist if there is an original one. And so when I talk of false prophets, I am not referring to all prophets. I'm talking about those who are fake. God's interest is always focused on turning your heart to himself and not to the prophets. Jesus warned, "For false prophets will appear and perform great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect." Matthew 24, verse 24. Sign number 4, idolatry. Just like false prophets, if a church gives you items to keep in your house for protection, this isn't of God. It doesn't matter how many scriptures they use to defend this. There is nothing that can save you other than the name of Jesus. I'm also talking about anything that takes the place of God. If the church is all about the leader, or let's say instead of using the name of Jesus, you are asked to bow down and pray in the name of that leader, then that's witchcraft. True spirituality should set you free and draw you closer to God, not enslaving you to human doctrines. This is why the Bible says, "See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of this world, rather than on Christ." Colossians chapter 2, verse 8. Sign number 5.
My new book, Keyboard Rich.
I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen, about this ad. Let me get it all. Okay.
When you find yourself in a church where everyone does what they like or does things their own way, Without the fear of God, this is a sign of witchcraft or witchcraft activity. What I mean is this. In every church, there must be a structure of order. This means there is a certain way God would expect the members of that church to conduct themselves. But when people come to church when they like, dress how they like, talk how they like, but without any discipline, it is a clear sign of witchcraft manipulation. For example, if the members are sleeping with each other or stealing offerings, or just generally treating the house of God casually, that shows there is another kind of spirit at work. Or maybe people do things in church which are bad, but no one can correct them. Because they get angry so often every time someone tries to rebuke them, that is a sign of witchcraft, because the Bible tells us rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Sign number 6, suppression of spiritual gifts. If you witness the suppression or dismissal of God-given talents within your congregation, it may be a sign that the enemy is at work. Sometimes you might find that within a church, God might begin to use an individual to a great degree, but then suddenly, instead of the leaders working together as a team to nurture that gift, those same leaders will begin to oppose those gifts. This is especially true where there is jealousy and envy involved, because sometimes people might begin to feel your gifts might attract people to you instead of them. And as a result, they will begin to attack those gifts. This on its own is witchcraft, because the devil hates those who manifest the gifts of the Spirit. This is due to the fact that the gifts of the Spirit hinders the devil's work, and so the best way the enemy tries to stop it is by attacking those gifts. If you have the gift of prophecy, the devil will quickly realize that God might reveal their hidden agendas to you. So, as a result of this, every time you try to give a prophecy, the devil will try to use others to silence you. They might begin saying things like, "In this church, nobody speaks in the name of God," or "In this church, nobody prays for the sick." His aim is to use those people to persecute you, to the extent that you either stop using the gifts or you get upset and leave the church. Once you've left the church, the devil's aim has been accomplished. The Bible tells us, "Do not neglect your gift, which was given you through prophecy when the body of elders laid their hands on you." 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 14. Sign number 7, the absence of genuine worship. In the book of John chapter 4, verse 24, Jesus said, "Only those who worship the Father in spirit and in truth are the true worshippers." However, when a church is soaking in witchcraft, worship will become a mere performance, lacking authenticity and sincerity. The members will begin to joke with worship. Worship leaders will dress seductively to lead the congregation. There will be no fear of God during worship. You will almost feel the dryness in the atmosphere, because the anointing is no longer there. That is why it is becoming very common to find worship going on in a church, but people are fidgeting. This is because that worship no longer carries enough power. But it's also about the sermons. If the sermons no longer speak of repentance, but instead focuses on miracles or money, it means it's no longer God behind the message. So if you've ever found yourself in any of these churches, it's high time you ask God to open your eyes and deliver you in Jesus' name. So there you have it. Thank you for watching.
All right. That was the 7 signs of witchcraft in a church, and let me just give them to you right quick. Number 1, a manipulative leadership, where the leadership is used manipulation. Number 2, division and gossip. Number 3, the presence of false prophets. Number 4, idolatry. Number 5, lack of accountability. Number 6, suppression of spiritual gifts. And then number 7, the absence of genuine worship. All right then, ladies and gentlemen, there you have it. The 7 gifts of the 7 signs, I'm sorry, 7 signs of witchcraft in the church. All right, that's it for today. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for joining us, listening to us all day long. We're in your corner right here on Ghostbusters.